Good afternoon, everyone. Hopefully you're all here to see Dev 202, Connecting the Dots, developing for the Connect SDK. Anyone not here to see Connect? Awesome. We've got a full room to share each. It's really, really good. So my name's Bronwyn Zandi. I'm from a company called Soul Solutions, a little company based in Brisbane. And with me today I have John. And today he's practicing being a mute. And if he's tempted to speak, we also don't have him mic'd up, which is going to help him with that. He's going to be driving all the demos and the keyboard for me today. So we're really excited to show you this today. I think this is going to be one of the coolest sessions that you could come to at TechEd. How often do you get to play with such cool tech in this environment with so many other geeks? So before we start, the hash code that you should use is dev202. And feel free to tweet about your thoughts on the Connect. And hopefully we're going to have a pretty interactive session today. So hoping to get a few of you out of your chairs literally today. So we're going to be showing you inside the Connect. We're going to take you through some of the features of the Connect SDK. And then we're going to finish up with a bit of a look into the future. But before we start on that, we're going to go back into the past and have a look at where it came from. Two years ago, we saw the first videos and announcements of this thing called Project Natal, this revolutionary new device that promised to make you the controller. It promised that we have no wires and no controller to hold anymore. Up on stage at E3, they had Steven Spielberg, where they announced that they would be getting us all out of our chairs to start a revolutionary new gaming experience. Along with that, they promised that we would be able to scan in our own objects. They had Tony Hawk up on stage scanning in his skateboard for the use in his Tony Hawk skateboard game. For those of you who like shopping, they also promised to allow us to go virtually shopping, try on their favorite dress, and socialize with our friends online to work out if it was the right dress for us before we went and buy it in the actual store, so that it was absolutely the perfect dress for the party. When I saw these videos, I was really, really excited. It really, really inspired me. It really took me back to a place when I was a little kid. That's me there, back when I was blonde, and I was big enough that my brother couldn't push me around. Back then, I don't know if anyone else did, but I used to imagine things that we could take a cereal box and we could turn it into a mask and we could pretend to be something completely different and let our imaginations run wild. It's amazing what we used to do when we were kids. Kids could take things like the latest, like your dad's saw bench, and you could turn it into a horse and you could ride around the paddock for hours. That's how I felt when I actually saw some of these videos. It really, really inspired me to what the possibility could be for this device. So let's move forward a year. A year ago, Project Natal was released, but it was renamed to the Kinect for Xbox. And a whole new revolution of gaming experience occurred. There was a massive launch around the world. People queued up to get this device on launch day. I pre-ordered one. I wanted one on the first day. There were queues all around the world to get hold of one of these. There was a big marketing campaign, and they'd set up big booths all around the world, like one like this, where people could come out and try the Kinect and join in the revolution. So it was no surprise to me at all when the Kinect won the Guinness World Record for the fastest-selling peripheral device ever. The Guinness World Record. Now, that's not something they give out lightly. Now, why did I pre-order one? Because I felt like a kid at Christmas. I got out to the store, I ran home, I ripped open the box because I just wanted to play with it. I thought it was the greatest new toy ever. And I started a whole new life playing games where I'm the controller. It's heaps of fun. So after that, I was just waiting for it to be able to use it on my computer. And luckily enough, 2 months ago, the Kinect SDK for Windows was launched. And us as developers started a new revolution as programmers, where we literally have to get out of our chairs to code and test the whole new life cycle of applications. We were so blown away with this, like we were really excited that we lasted with one Kinect for about another day before John and I had to actually buy another one because we don't share very well and we were fighting over it. In fact, we liked it so much that we actually now have three Kinects, one for each of us to play with and one to have on the Xbox to play games with. So there's a few things I want to tell you about the Kinect SDK that are really, really important. So firstly, it's SDK for Windows PCs. It's not for developing on the Xbox. It is a beta. It is the first release. So there may be a few issues, but what it allows you to do is play with this technology and just see the potential that's out there. Now, as anyone, it's designed to run on Windows 7. And it also can run on Vista. Has anyone got XP or something else? No, everyone's got Windows 7? Awesome. So the biggest tip that I can give you when you start up using this SDK is that if you have any issues at all with it, to close Visual Studio and reboot your computer. Because speaking from experience, when I first installed the SDK, it's just a USB plug that plugs into your computer. When I installed the Kinect, I had a problem where it didn't install in my GAC correctly. By uninstalling it and rebooting my computer, it all just magically started working again. Now, the other important thing at the moment is that it's for educational and prototype purposes. So it's not for commercial use, but they have made an announcement that they will announce a commercial agreement for later in the year, which, of course, everyone's looking forward to because everyone's building some cool stuff and obviously they want to turn it into products and stuff. So, can I just get a show of hands for anyone who's actually tried out the Kinect SDK for Windows? You guys want to stand up, please? Now, give these guys a round of applause because they have really done well to start the revolution. Thanks, guys. Now, did anyone use any of the open source drivers? Yep, awesome. And who has a Kinect at home on their Xbox? Cool. And for the rest of you, who's excited about Kinect? Awesome. So has anyone seen what the inside of a Kinect looks like? You guys, we're at TechEd. Who's interested to see what the inside of Kinect looks like? Everyone? Okay, it's TechEd. I reckon we can do this. Show you the inside of a Kinect. I think that might be John's. Yeah, this is John's Kinect. Yep. I think we need something to open it up with. Do you want to grab me? Yep, no. Screwdriver? Yeah. I think this might take too long. I think we need something bigger. Yeah, hammer's better. Hammer's good. Sorry, it's a mallet, it's not actually a hammer, you're correct. And I think we need a bit of safety here, because it could be a bit deadly. We need the safety goggles. And I think you guys are sitting a little close. You like being personal? Okay, did you want a set of... Yeah. I think you might need these. And yeah, you probably want one too. And maybe the guy just here is probably a bit close as well. Okay. Okay, so you're going to have to maybe hide under your iPad. Is that an iPad?
First kid, that's fine. Okay.
I'll, maybe if I stand here. Okay. Okay.
Go for it.
Go for it?
Go for it.
No! Oh,
Oh, Andrew, it's Andrew.
Don't do that.
Oh,
here's
thanks.
One, here's one you prepared earlier.
Yeah, here's one we prepared earlier. It turns out that these are really, really hard to break. We actually took the hacksaw and a few drills to this one to get it apart. But this is what the inside of a Kinect looks like. And I'll pass it around in a minute so you guys can have a bit of a closer look. So if you had a bunch of tools and wanted to sit down and spend time actually pulling it apart into the right pieces and being able to put it back together again, this is what it looked like. So these guys, the Fixit site, they have a really good article about step-by-step instructions on how to pull one of these guys apart. And we didn't quite have all the right screwdrivers and stuff. So this guy is made up of a bunch of really cool technology into a tiny little box. So if we just have a look there, it's got three different cameras to give you colour, depth, infrared. And it's also got four microphone array, which is really cool. You can do noise cancellation, echoing, you can do beaming and stuff like that. Because they pumped so much tech into this guy, they've got three separate boards, which you can see here. Again, on the Fixit site, have a description for what each of these are. You can see the different square colours here, all the different chips that are involved, but there's heaps of stuff in there to drive the stepper motor, the colour camera, change like image arrays, RAM, USB drivers, etc. So check it out if you want to know exactly what all the different chips and stuff are, because these guys have got a really cool site. So who wants to have a look at it? Yeah? If you pass that around. As long as I get it back at the end, because it was my sacrificial lamb. No guarantees. Yeah, awesome. Cool. So who bought a Kinect with an Xbox bundle? All of you. So unfortunately for you, you can't plug it straight into the computer. You have to go and get this cable that there's a link there. So there's a extra bit that you plug in that has the USB driver and plug into the power. So you need to go get one of them. I think they're retailing for about $35 online. I saw a big special about a month ago where the Kinect was selling for $99. So I'd highly recommend using it as a really good excuse to go buy another Kinect. So as soon as the SDK launched, we had a big DDD Sydney. Did anyone go to that? We had a Kinect Hack Day. So we gave the guys a quick intro to some of the features and we set them off for a couple of hours developing ideas for the Kinect. And in a few hours, they came up with heaps of different stuff. So I just thought I'd share with you some of the things that they did in about 3 hours of coding. And you might recognise some faces as we show you some of the photos. So the first one here, they did a quick draw application, which what that is they had two people. It was the fastest draw in the West, so they had a countdown. And at the end, whoever was the quickest draw won. That was pretty cool. The next one was a human Tetris game. So they had some funky shapes and you had to contort your body, as Nick Hodge here, you can see, he's having a go at it. Contort your body into the right shape as the image came towards you so that you didn't get killed. That was pretty cool. This guy here, he did a media center controller, so jukebox type thing. So he did different gestures, clapping, etc., to drive his music player. This one was a minority style report. So who's seen Minority Report? Yeah, most people. So what he had was he had a live video stream running, and what he would do is as he found images that he was interested in, he would grab them and pull them down to different sections on the screen. And that would freeze frame it and he could keep them for later, which was pretty cool. So now we get on to the bit about the actual SDK. So we've broken it up into two different sections. We've got the camera functions and the audio functions that we're going to take you through. So as I said before, it's got a bunch of different cameras. So the first one we're going to talk the first thing we're going to talk to you about is the camera tilt. So for anyone who's played on the Kinect, you'll notice that the Kinect will move up and down and scan you. So it has a full stopper motor that you can drive in that. So they've rated it to only be able to be used 20 times in any 15-second period. So what that means, and they recommend, is that you should use it to scan and get the people or whatever it is that you want to take a shot of in view sort of at the beginning and then kind of leave it there, or otherwise you kind of burn out the Kinect and need to go buy another one. And the next one is the colour camera. So you get a full colour camera and you can get up to 1240 by 1024, 1280, oh, my numbers today, 1280 by 1024 in a compressed format straight from the Kinect at up to 30 frames a second. Now, if you want something that you want to play with a bit more, you can get the uncompressed, but you can only get it up to 15 frames a second. And you can get it in a couple of different formats. You can get RGB and YUV. The next interesting one, which I think is quite cool, is the depth camera. So what that allows you to do is it sends you back information, and for every X, Y coordinate, it'll give you the depth in millimetres from the Kinect to its nearest object. And it is really, really accurate. One of the guys at the Hack Day, he was playing around with measuring things in front of the Kinect so that he could guess someone's gene size. And he was doing pretty well, actually. The other really cool thing that you can get on the depth camera is you can get a thing called the player index. So it picks up to six, it can see up to six different people. And for part of the each of the pieces of information that come through, there's three bits that tell you the 0, 1, or 2, whether or not there is no players, a player, or player in the image. And then lastly, is my favourite, is the skeleton tracking. So instead of thinking of a person, or a child, or a doll, that has, evil child, he is quite evil, think of it as an artist mannequin. Hold Chucky. So for the skeleton information, the Kinect actively tracks two people. Not dogs, not cats, not dolls. Unfortunately, it doesn't work with this guy or even him. Two people, and it tracks up to 20 joints. So picture the mannequin. He's got hands with no fingers. So you just get hands, arms, get shoulder, head, hips, legs, knees, feet, which is pretty cool. And it also tracks up to an additional four players passively, which means that you can get like the position of the center mass so that you know that there's people there. And I think some of the like skeleton stuff is really, really cool. So to show you what I mean by all of that, we're just going to do a quick demo for you and put all that stuff together. So who is everyone here familiar with Visual Studio and XAML, C Sharp? Yes? So today we're going to show some of the demos. We're going to use C Sharp. If you're more comfortable with languages like C++, there's also some really great resources for them as well. You can use that. And I've seen some people doing some demos in F Sharp as well. So what we're going to do first is we're going to create an image on the screen and we're going to hook the colour camera up to it. And we're just going to make it the size of the screen as well, so you can all see. Now, the really important reference that you have to add is the Microsoft Research Kinect.
So there's no project templates for it yet?
Yeah. The question was, are there project templates for it? There is a project that I have in the resources at the end, which refers to a project template that you can helps you hook up some of the camera and audio functions so that you don't have to add all this stuff yourself. So what John's going to do is going to add the usings that we need. So for the camera stuff, we need to add a reference to the Microsoft Kinect Research NUI. which stands for Natural User Interface. When we get to the audio one, we'll use the other library. Then what he's going to do, we're going to make a global variable to the connect runtime that we're going to use everywhere. Then we're going to hook up to the Windows Open and Windows Closed event of the form. Now, in the Windows Closed, we have to clean up after ourselves so that we uninitialize the connect runtime. Now, in the Windows Loaded event, there's three really important steps that you have to do, and it's really common across each of the camera functions. So in the first step, you need to hook up to the appropriate ready event. So at the moment, because we're doing the image, we're hooking up to the video frame ready event. The second step, we hook up, we initialize the runtime object, and we tell it what things we're interested in. So at the moment, because we're interested in the color camera, we're just going to tell it that we're going to use the color. Step three, we need to open the stream. So we're going to open the video stream. We're going to tell it which type, and there's lots of enums here to help you so you don't have to remember. We want to use the video image type. And then you can pick your resolution. So we're going to go for the full resolution here, 1280 by 1024. And then that's where we get to pick the image type. So we're going to pick the color image. So in our video frame ready event, this is where we have to actually do something with the data that comes back. What comes back from the connector is this thing called a planar image, which isn't actually a bitmap. So what we have to do is we have to take that data and turn it into something that we can use. So we're going to convert it to a bitmap. And I'll show you a different way to do that a little bit later. And then John's going to run. And there I am. And as you can see, if I turn it around for all of you, we can all wave, and we can see that it's quite, even though it's not that great a light, we can see it's quite responsive. Okay, I should have looked at it before I got up. So now that we've got the color image, what we need to do is have a way so that we can set the connect up in the right spot so that it can actually see me. So this is where we're going to use the camera tilt. So John's going to rearrange the screen a bit, and now we're going to divide it up into four sections, and we're going to add a slider bar and a button so that we can set the camera tilt. So the camera tilt can go anywhere between plus 27 and minus 27 degrees. So we're going to set up a slider, and we're going to give those min and max values and have increments of 1 so that we can easily set it. So on the click handler, so we're going to set it and then we're going to press a button. When we press the button in the event handler, what we're going to do is we're just going to set the elevation of the camera to the integer value that we set in the slider bar. So when he runs that up, I'm in the right, actually set it in the right spot, but he can move it right down. Or he can move it all the way up to top. So just watch as when he hits the button that it'll stop the video as it moves as well. And then we can get it back in the right position. Cool. So camera tilt is really, really easy to use. You just have to have a little fiddle with it. So the next one we're going to show you is the depth camera. So what we're going to do here is we're going to hook up the depth camera, and we're going to apply a little library to do a grayscale value to indicate how far the person in front of the connect is standing from it, or objects. You can do whatever you want with the depth data, but what we're going to do is apply a Coding for Fun helper. Is everyone familiar with Coding for Fun? Couple? So these guys have like a really cool job. They get to build cool stuff on Microsoft Tech, and they post lots of articles about it. They have done a bunch of interesting articles and a bunch of interesting helpers for the Connect SDK. So John's just going to add a reference to that DLL before we move on. And then again, we're going to go into our three steps. So the first step is we're going to hook up to the ready event. So this time we're hooking up to the depth frame ready. In the initialize now, because we're using the depth data, what we're going to use, we're going to give it that option, and we're going to use the depth one only, not the depth and player index, because we only want depth data. And then we're going to open the stream, and the depth data, you can't get 1280 by 1024. We want the depth stream this time. He wants 640 by 480, and we want the depth data. So in our ready event, this is where we're going to turn that planar image that we got back before into this grayscale bitmap using the Coding for Fun helper, which is a really good way to get you started playing with it, and then you can have a bit of a look and see how they actually do it. So when I run it up, you can see that things are different colours. So as I walk closer to the connect, I get lighter until the point about 80 centimetres, I'll disappear. And if I could walk back far enough without falling off the stage, I would disappear here at about 11 feet. So that was colour and depth. So the last camera function we're going to show you now is the skeleton tracking. So what we're going to do to start with, to keep it simple, is John's going to create two ellipses, and we're going to track my hands, and we're going to have them as different colours. So again, we have three steps, but it's a little bit different with the skeleton data. So again, we hook up to the ready event. Someone's not liking John's coding down here. And then in our initialize, this time we're also going to add in the skeleton data. So we're going to add use skeleton tracking. And then instead of doing the depth stream open, it's a little bit different here. So John's just going to get a bunch of code in there for me. So in here, what we're doing is we're doing this thing called transform smoothing, which smooths out some of your movements. And in it, there's a bunch of different settings that you can play with, which I'll show you in a minute. But this is usually sort of the default settings that you want to use that look most natural. And you can fiddle with these to get it to be what you want it to be. So then in the skeleton frame ready, what we're going to do is hook up to all the data that's coming back from the Connect. So the Connect gives us back the skeletons that it's tracking. And sometimes if someone has been tracked and walks off the screen, it'll tell you someone who isn't tracked as well. So we just want to make sure that we grab the tracked skeletons. And for this demonstration, we're just going to grab the first one because it's just going to be me for the moment. And we're just going to make sure we have a skeleton before we continue on. For those who used the original SDK, have you used the skeleton tracking? Anyone? Couple? So there's a couple of demos. They just did a refresh on the beta that broke a few demos. The Skeleton Frame Ready event used to only give you back a frame ready if there was a person in front of the Kinect. Now it will give you back a ready event where there's no skeletons. So you have to check for null now. So if you've got demos or code that are breaking, just check that you are checking that the skeleton data isn't null before you try to access it. So what John's going to do now is what he's going to do is he's going to take the data that's coming back from my track skeleton and he's going to map the position of my hands to the position of the image of the ellipsis on the screen. And the Kinect gives us a really nice enum for all the different joints that you have access to. So he's going to hook up to my left hand. Yep. And my right hand to the two different ellipses. Yep, right hand. So, as you can see, we've got a different color for each of my hands, and as they move them, they move around. So to show you something a little bit cooler, you want to see the whole skeleton. So we did a little bit of a XAML DLL and created a skeleton DLL that you can drop in and hook up to the Kinect SDK so you can see it all at once. So we can see all of, and we've got little like circles and stuff. So John's just going to add a reference to that DLL and we're going to drop it in the screen to replace those two circles because it's way more interesting when Visual Studio stops. if anyone's after this later on, we have got the code for that on our blog as well if anyone wants to use that skeleton in any of their projects. So instead of setting my hands to the ellipsis, he's going to just set pretty much every one of my joints to that little skeleton XAML guy. So he runs out. We're going to introduce you to my skeleton avatar I call Slim. So there's me. You can see all my joints and it moves my legs. So that's really cool. And so the best way to show you about that smooth transform that I just mentioned before is we're going to turn it off. So we're just going to go back and comment out that transform to show you what difference it makes. So when this is turned off, it is much more sensitive to every little movement or what it thinks is a movement. So now when I stick my hands out, you'll see my joints and hands are jittering and I'm not moving a bit. It's a little bit shaky. And then if we go back and turn it back on, just to keep him busy. We'll see now that I'm staying quite still except at the extremity of the screen. And it's quite smooth when I move my hands. So there's like a jitter, a radius, and stuff that you can play with to get the settings that you want. And some of them do trade off the other. So if you want to... People are laughing at me, aren't they? Yes. So if you want to compromise on what you consider a move, then you can play with those settings and get it how you want it to act for your application. Yes. So the question was a bit about the lag. So what we've got running at the moment is we have the full color camera at full resolution, the full depth camera, and the full skeleton on a laptop through a USB device.
So if you really want to concentrate on one particular thing, you can just use one of those. And I think you'll also find the light will play a little bit of a factor into it as well if it's a less well-lit room. If anyone's ever played Kinect on the projector, you'll find that it's a lot greenier and stuff as well. So it'll all come down to how fast your computer is and how many different things you're hammering your computer with at the time. Yep. So, wrong one. Next slide. Oh yeah, no, you want to show the depth, don't you? Okay. He wants to show his cool demo. So we did an in-depth session in New Zealand last week, and we were just going to show you one of the advanced demos that we showed there, a different one for the depth camera. So before I showed you a grayscale image, this time what I'm going to show you is we've taken the depth camera and also used the color camera at the same time, and we can map those using the player index as well. And what it allows us to do is to identify me separate to the rest of the room. So if John hits the blur button, I'll be in focus while the rest of the background is blurry, which kind of gives you that effect when you have a camera on like an F4 stop or something like that. But the cool thing is if I've stretched myself out, if it can see me, is it has from my fingers here to my fingers here in focus, like what looks like in focus, and all the background blurry. I think what demonstrates that better is when he puts up the mesh view, where it takes me out of the picture and shows the background. So that's a bit cool.
Very nice, John.
Good demo, John.
So that was all the camera. Now we're going to show you the audio stuff. So the audio stuff, there's heaps and heaps of different things you can do with it. Who's into like audio processing? Anyone? No one? Okay. So you can do noise cancellation, echo cancellation, you can do microphone beaming, you can do all sorts of funky stuff because it has four separate microphones. What we're going to show you in the demo today is we're going to show you the speech recognition, which is really cool. So you can speak to it and it will pick up your voice and know what you're saying and stuff like that. So the cool thing about using it on the Windows SDK is that we can use other things. So we're going to use the speech pack for Windows 7. So the demo today, what we're going to do is we're going to have a screen and I'm going to say some colours, and when it picks up the colours that I'm saying, it's going to turn the screen that colour, and we're also going to display to you what I'm saying or what it thinks I'm saying. So the question was about where do we get the speech pack from. So that's a standard download that you can get off the Microsoft site. It's also in the list of references that I have at the end of the slides. So John's got the grid there and he's just got a little text box that's going to display what I'm saying. Again, we're going to add the reference to the Kinect DLL, but we also have to add in the Microsoft Speech DLL reference. So we add in the usings that we need to use. This time, before we use NUI, now we're going to use audio from the Microsoft Research Kinect. And we're also going to hook into the Microsoft speech stuff. This time we need a few more variables than before. Again, we need our Kinect stuff. So we have our Kinect audio source, but there's another couple of things there. There's the speech recognizer engine, and one of the really, really important strings we need is the recognizer ID. So at the moment, John's got the US speech
speech pack in, so I'm going to put on my best American accent to try and get this to work today. So there is a bunch of languages available, one of which is Australian. I don't think there's New Zealand, but no one from New Zealand would like look it up for me when I was on stage. But yes, there is an Australian one, but we like a challenge. And it's way funnier.
Is there New Zealand?
No, I don't think so.
Beach does.
So again, we hook up our loaded enclosed events. In the closed, we have a few extra things that we have to clean up this time. So we have to clean up our speech recognizer, and we also have to dispose our Connect source. So the audio stuff works on this concept of grammars. So what we're going to do is we're going to compile a list of words that we're going to use. So to check that we've got the right thing installed, we go to the speech recognizer engine and we look up the list of recognizers that are installed, and we want to check that it's the same recognizer that we want to be using. Because if we've got the Russian one installed and we think we're going to speak American, we're not going to match on anything. So that's a good check to do before you start doing any processing. So we hook up the speech recognizer to the ID that we found. Scroll back up a bit. So the speech recognizer loads in a set of grammars. So what the grammars do is you can build up these sets of different words into different grammars and join them together. So what we're going to do is we're going to take the colors of the rainbow and create them as a grammar. You aren't limited to single words. You can do whole phrases if you want to. It picks up a whole phrase, which is pretty cool. We're just going to do single ones today because that's enough of a challenge for me. So with the recognizer, there are three really important events that you really want to know about. So the two not so important ones are the hypothesized. So that's where it's guessing, having a guess at what I'm saying. And the rejected, that's where it's decided that I haven't said what it thinks I'm saying. And the really, really important one is the speech recognized event. So what we're going to do is on the hypothesized and on the rejected, we're going to show up what it thinks I said. And on the recognized event, that's where we're going to do the cool processing. So in the recognized event, it passes you back the words that it thought you said, along with a value called confidence. So you can work at how confident it was that you said the word, which is a really good one to use, because if it was only 10% confident that I said yellow, you probably don't want to do anything with that information. So John likes to make things hard for me, and he said it to, he's going to make sure that it's not going to change color unless it's more than 90% confident that I've said the right word. Once we get a match that's above 90%, then we're just going to have this little switch statement here that just changes the background of the screen to the color that I said. So now in the Windows loaded event, we have to hook up this stuff, but the audio needs to run on a background thread. So we just need to create a little function that'll go and hook up the Connect source. Now, in here, there are heaps and heaps and heaps of different parameters that you can set and muck around with and make the audio do what you want. We've just set pretty much the default ones. You can set the beam, and you can set the how many people. You can set player indexes. You can set echo. There's like a list this long. But we're just going to play with those couple today. Yep. So we're going to start the Connect stream, and then what we do is we hook up the speech recognizer to the Connect stream so they're talking to one another. And the recognize async is really important. We're going to set it to multiple, so after it so that it doesn't stop after it's matched one word. So each time I speak, it's going to keep processing. So back in our load event, we're going to start a new thread and kick off that function. So fingers crossed. Red. Yes. Yellow. Pink. Green. Blue. Purple. Orange. Oh man. Rainbow. Yeah, this is one I had trouble with before. Rainbow. Rainbow. So we're going to be at the Connect booth in the next couple of days. We've got a couple of other speech demos that we can show you if you want to see something a little bit cooler as well. So that's it for the features that you get in the API. What we're going to talk to you about now is the gestures. So the first thing that people usually want to do when they're playing with Connect is do gestures. The Connect SDK doesn't come with a default set of gestures, which at first you think, boo. Yeah, but it's really cool because you get to write your own. Yay. So it means you can do anything you want. Now, we're just going to go through and show you a few tips on when you want to write your own gestures. And when it comes to writing gestures, what you think a gesture means and what someone else thinks a gesture means are two very different things. And I could say this 1,000 times and you won't understand it, I don't think, unless I show you. So, to do that, I need 6 volunteers, please. Yeah, come up. Yeah, yeah. Don't have to put your hands up. 6. I need John as well. So we can get you all to line up for me across here so everyone can see you. Got 6. Awesome. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to give these guys each a gesture. You're not allowed to show it to that person standing next to you or the audience. If you can't read my handwriting, let me know. And what we're going to get you to do is we're going to get you to do the gesture written on the piece of paper when I tell you. Are you showing people?
Maybe.
I shouldn't let you up on screen, on stage. So the rest of you thought you got off light, right? So actually, I need your help as well. So what we're going to do is we're going to count 3, 2, 1, go, and on go, these guys are going to do their gesture. You can do it as big or as small as you want. Everyone know what their gesture is? Cool, so we'll just come back here so everyone can see. No, you're doing it to the audience because they have to work out what your gesture is. Okay, so everyone ready? Okay, ready? 3, 2, 1, go! So does anyone want to guess what this gesture is here? Shooting. What's yours? Do it again.
Shooting.
No, no, don't tell me what it is. There. This guy's? Yeah. I think he's copying John. But does everyone notice that everyone here has done a different gun? Can we see them all again? So we've got the two-finger, we've got shotguns, we've got the one hand, we've got the double hand for, like, steadiness. Bazooka? We've gone bazooka. Awesome. Now, can you imagine having to write the trigonometry to work out every one of these combinations? It'd be a tough job, I think. So if you need to, the best advice I can give you is give them a gesture, one, that they know, but two, if you can show them or teach them, you're going to get a much better hit rate on your gestures. So just give these guys a round of applause. I think they all did really good gestures. Thank you. You can sit down. Yeah. Or you can stay if you want. Yeah, okay. So the next bit of advice I'm going to give you is a few tips around writing gestures for your users. So for those of you who have played Connect, a lot of the games are meant to wear you out. So if you're writing gestures and you want your person to be worn out in 5 minutes, you need to make big gestures. If you want the person to be able to use your application for more than 5 minutes, you need to think a little bit smaller. So we're going to show you a few gestures. So we can welcome back my skeleton buddy Slim. So we'll do proportions first. If you want to make someone do a really big gesture, we recommend that you make the proportion of what happens when they do that gesture equivalent, so that they feel like they've gone a long way. So if I do a big swipe like this, I want it to go to the end of the list like that. I don't want it to go this far, or I'm going to like be doing that all day and feeling like I'm getting nowhere. The other gesture, most people want to start with a swipe as well. So if I do a swipe this way, and I come, and I want to do a swipe this way, but if I want to keep going left, what happens if I, using the same arm, is I end up back at the same place all the time. So because the Kinect gives you every separate joint as different arms and stuff as well, the best thing to do is split up your gestures. So if you want to do a swipe in one direction, use one arm. And if you want to do a swipe in the other direction, use the other arm. So when you want to scroll through big lists, a lot of us are tempted to do this like scrolling action that makes us move across. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't do this for very long before my arm feels like it's going to fall off. So what a lot of people will do is they'll say, stick out your hand, and while we're holding it, we'll keep scrolling, which is better. I can do this a lot longer, but eventually my arm's going to get tired if that list is really, really long. So a recommendation for what to do there would be stick your arm out to start it scrolling, and then use a completely different gesture to stop it. So that's our top tips on gestures. So to show you how we've used it before, we've got a little demo. There was a thing called, I don't know if anyone heard of it, it was called Library Hack a while ago. You can get some library data and hack it up. So what we did was we grabbed 50,000 out-of-copyright images in Queensland. We mosaiced them up and took John 7 days to process it all. And we made a mosaic of Queensland. And they asked us to come and demo it. And we thought, what better way to get people demoing it, playing with it, than to have them use the Kinect? Now, our goal here was to bring people to our booth. So we wanted the gestures to be really, really big. So we made them a little bit out of proportion. So to go up, we did a big hands in the air. To go down, we made them touch their toes, if it can see me, yeah. To make them go, they hold out their arms to go right and left. Both arms right out to zoom out. Hands together to zoom in. And because we wanted everyone to come and see our booth, we thought a dramatic reset was right up there. So we're going to do a Toyota-style jump in the air and hopefully not lose my microphone to reset it. Cool. So the last little section is about the future. And really, the future is really you. It's about you developing stuff for this Kinect and feeding it back to Microsoft so you can get the features to build those applications we haven't even thought of yet. I just am blown away by the ideas that people come up with. So I'm just wondering, why you've been sitting here? Has anyone thought of something or has been thinking of something that they'd like to see built with the Kinect? Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you because you're copyrighted.
Right, OK. You don't want to share, that's fine. Anyone else? Yeah?
An application that would help children learn sight words and by using phonics.
So an application to do sight words using phonics. So that would be using the audio and stuff. Awesome. Anyone else? Yep, guy at the back. So you want to do a security system using gestures to look at the different images? Turn on lights. Yeah, that'd be cool. Do gestures to turn on the lights in your house. Anyone else? Yeah? So making your own video clip using words. Yep. Awesome. Anyone else? Yeah? I think you probably could. So it was used as a cheap home automation system. So you want to use, do you want to use gestures?
Lights on.
You want to use voice as well?
Yeah.
So I could definitely see that you could use the voice recognition to hook it up.
Can it do voice recognition rather than just text recognition? So like, can it determine the difference between your voice and your voice?
Yeah. So that's one thing I didn't mention. With the audio, it also has the ability to pick up the player index and know where the source of the audio is coming from. And then you can also point the audio, like microphones, towards different angles and stuff like that as well.
So, sorry, taking on to that concept then, because I do know that like some of the games, like the the health tracking game, it remembers you by your shape. So you can do all that, is that right? Like it can identify you physically as the person, because you know me and my girlfriend are different sizes, so.
So the questions around recognizing you based on shape. The SDK hasn't got an API for that, but you could use the depth image yourself to like store that player was a particular shape or height or whatever, and then use it to recognize different people. And obviously the beauty with it being Windows is that you can, if someone's written a particular DLL or a Compress project, you can pull that in, so you don't have to write all this stuff yourself from scratch. Yep.
I just think it could recognize distinct voices, like would it recognize it's me from my voice?
I don't think it does that at the moment.
Because that would be great security if you have just family members who can open your front door by saying open.
The problem though is, I don't know about anyone else, but it scares me when I hear my sister on the phone, she sounds like me. So I wonder if.
But apparently our voices are all completely unique.
Yeah, it's very true.
Not just in the ear, but
yeah.
Apparently at some level.
But I'm assuming that if you could get a voice, like there are those voice recognition sort of, yeah, if you could get a project like that, you could hook it in for sure, I'm assuming. Then you get a cold and you can't get in, yeah, so you probably need a backup plan, right?
Just say it through the phone.
Say it through the phone.
Open the door.
Yes. Oh, hang on.
No, not
yet. Yeah, okay, you can talk.
Oh, we got some more? I got a good idea. I reckon we could make, we could be a star in like one of our own action movies or something.
John wants to be a star in his own action movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Kindergarten Cop. Yeah.
Kindergarten Cop. Yeah?
Yeah, can we?
Uh-oh. John and White. He's allowed to speak now. He'll need it.
Flame on. Abracadabra. Beam me up, Scotty. Beam me up, Scotty. Beam me up, Scotty.
So we were at the Imagine Cup finals in New York about a month ago, and I don't know if any of you know what Imagine Cup is, but there is a booth out in the showcase that I definitely think you should go check out. But what they do is they run a competition every year for students to develop software that changes the world. And these guys really, really do that. And what I found really impressive when I was there, that out of the 76 finalists, that's from different countries all around the world, out of the 76 software design finalists, 10 different solutions were using the Kinect. And this thing hasn't even been out in a year. And I think students have a pretty good grasp on what is the future. So I think Kinect has a really, really, really bright future. So I'm just going to open it up to questions for a couple of minutes before we take you through some of the really important resources that you need to know about. Is there any other questions? Yes?
Can you get the Kinect to say things back to you?
So the Kinect saying things back to you has a text-to-speech as well. So what you can do if you want to hook into the audio stuff is you can get it to repeat back things you've said as well. So there is the speech recognition engine, and then there's also the text-to-speech DLLs, which are in that same download resource that I'll show you in a minute. Anyone else? Yes. Okay, so the question is about fingers on hands. And everyone wants to know this one. So, you might remember my American friend.
Yeah.
Remember the mannequin? He doesn't have any fingers. So the skeleton tracking in the Kinect SDK at the moment doesn't have finger recognition.
Because it's easier to long-term use your fingers.
Yeah. So you could, if you want to do some coding, you could use the depth camera as well to pick up fingers. But I'm assuming that like everyone seems to be asking for it. Hopefully that they'll add more joints and add ways to extend that. But yeah, at the moment you can only get hands, no fingers.
Some guy's already done some homebrew project with picked up fingers, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think that was the OpenNI project or one of the others. Yes. Right, so for this, you can't use the skeleton tracking for anything other than a person, but for the depth camera, you can obviously pick up all sorts of other objects and then you could write code to show that. Maybe the Fusion video would be a good demo. I don't know if anyone's seen this. This was a video that Microsoft Research put out with the Kinect. And what they're doing is they're taking the Kinect and they're real-time mapping 3D models and doing some really cool stuff. We chopped it down to 2 minutes. I just thought we'll just show you that now because that'll probably address your question a bit. So he's got the Kinect and he's just walking around the room. And you've got a couple of different images there, but the top one there is the depth data, and as he walks around the room, it's picking up all the different images in the room, including the guy sitting on the couch. Oh, is this the 10-minute version? Dope. Do you want to fast forward to the... No. I can give you a resource to that a bit later, but it also has some really cool stuff where they're using the depth camera to, they throw a particle, they throw fake, mud onto shirts, and it picks it up, and they can shake it off, and they can use, using the depth camera, they've picked up the objects, and then they can, use it like a whiteboard so that you can use your finger and draw on something that isn't actually there. So you could possibly use the depth camera to do picking up other things, but obviously you're going to need to write some code to do that. Yes?
Can you control more than one Kinect within one program?
Yeah, so the question was about controlling more than one Kinect. So you can plug two Kinects into one computer, but what it does is it splits the camera so that you get different data out of each camera. But obviously then you're running a lot of stuff through to one computer. So if I was going to do it, I would plug one into each two computers and I'd probably get them to talk to one another because you're get a lot more processing power then, but yep. Yep, last question?
Can you reposition the skeleton points? So where it's got the 20 points.
Yep.
So to actually create it on a much smaller scope. So if you were to get the cameras onto a iPad or, in front of a computer monitor, reposition the skeleton points to your hand so you could do, that Minority Report style touch typing with your fingers.
Yes.
Probably not using the skeletal.
Minimum depth.
Yeah, you've got the issue that you have to be at least a certain distance from it. But yeah.
The scale is only on your hands rather than your entire body. You're just reducing that scale of depth.
You might be able to use the depth camera, but not the skeleton. Yeah, you wouldn't be able to use the skeleton tracking. You'd have to use the depth data and do some funky coding yourself. So, yeah, do you want to... So, has anyone played Kinect Fruit Ninja? Yeah. Okay, so the guys, Half-Brick guys that wrote that, are going to be here tonight at the Spotlight Showcase showing off Fruit Ninja Kinect and talking about it a bit. And also when they're... I don't know if anyone saw it in the keynote, there's the Spotlight competition with Windows Phone. We've got an app that's in that. So if you guys want to see our app and see the Half-Brick guys... There's a session tonight at 6:30 in Central C, and you can see there's four really, really great apps from around Australia using government data on Windows Phone 7 and the Fruit Ninja guys. I'm really excited about that. And then here's a list of resources. The default color for Lynx is blue, so when you download the slides, these are actual links. So the really important one is the Kinect SDK, which you can get off the Microsoft site. Up there is the SDK, a bunch of documentation, a bunch of videos, and a really good forum that the Microsoft guys are doing really, really well to hook into. There's the Coding for Fun guys. Check out their site. They've got a DLL package for all the helpers, but they've also been putting up bunches of articles around anyone in the community doing cool stuff, so there's really good starters for all sorts of funky projects there. For those of you who had the Kinect Xbox bundles, there's the link for you if you don't want to buy another Kinect and want to fork out for the power supply instead. For Stephen, there's the Visual Studio 2010 templates. There's someone's done up some of them, so it includes all the DLLs and stuff for you automatically for each of the things. There's a really good article written by a guy at Microsoft about Kinect gestures. So he has a really good concept around training gestures. So when you come to do things like circles, everyone's circle's different. So he has this idea of so that you can record it and play it back and it'll recognize it using a template pattern as well. Really good article. Check that one out if you're interested in doing gesture stuff. And then for all the guys that want to do speech recognition and text-to-speech, there's a link there to download all the different language packs there, and there's heaps of different ones. And also, the really important thing is to fill out your evaluations, because there's heaps of prizes. I think they're giving away touch mice and stuff like that. And obviously, we really like to hear your feedback about what you thought of the session and what you'd like to see and stuff like that, because we find that really, really valuable. And yeah, that's it. So I just want to take a second to thank all the guys that came up and helped me, because it makes it a lot easier if I have volunteers to show off some of my demos. And secondly, I'll thank John for helping me. He's been a good coder. But lastly, I really want to thank Andrew there. He put us through a speaker training course in the last year, which has been totally awesome. And I think you'll notice that some of the presentations around this week are going to be a lot different because of this man. I'd just really like to thank him for getting us involved in that this year. So we're going to be hanging out today at the, well, no, tomorrow and Friday we're going to be hanging out in the sort of the Kinect area, showing off some of the demos and stuff that we've built. So if you have any questions, come and ask us. We would love to hear them and hear your ideas and work out different ways that we could do them. And also, if you have any feedback and stuff like that, definitely come and say hello. And I'd just like you all to thank you all for coming and seeing us today.